Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He is Lord, He is above all, He is the one that gives life. He is the author of life, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, the one that gave us the way to the Father and is the gate by which we receive that connection, and by that name we are saved. And I greet you in that name that is above every name. And grateful to God, and grateful for what He's done in our lives, and grateful for the opportunity that we have in such a window and such a season as this to connect like this. Okay. Hey, grab your Bibles and let's go. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, How is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And the Lord said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivitites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Praise God for the reading of His Word. Okay, you know, I want to talk with you guys a little bit about lost dreams. You know, here's something that is interesting to me about this story. Okay, every one of us has been made and fashioned by God in a particular way. When we came into this life and God designed us, we came into this life with particular skills, abilities, just natural inclinations towards particular things. You know, like, I've been blessed to grow up in an amazing family, and, you know, but every one of my siblings is very different than me. You know, and I'm very different than they are. And within themselves, they're all, each one has different skills, different abilities. My parents, same. You know, all of us are different people. I have friends that are, you know, just some of them are just naturally gifted at certain things. And it's incredible how God creates and makes each and every one of us in the earth with different, you know, not just talents, but then also, you know, levels of being able to carry those out, you know, execute those, expression of those talents and those abilities. Moses, you know, from the start, was brought into this world in some incredible circumstances and an incredible situation. You know, in the process of them trying to carry out infanticide on a lot of the young Hebrew boys, they, you know, God spared Moses' life. He ended up growing up in Pharaoh's house. And in the midst of all of that, there was a desire that sprung up inside of him to see his brethren, the people of God, to see them free from the bondage and the oppression that they were in. Now, see, Moses could have had easy street. You know, all he had to do was play ball. All he had to do was shut his mouth and just go along to get along. You know, that's all he had to do. Go along to get along. And he would have, you know, lived out his days in comfort and luxury, and just, you know, been a member of the royal house, all the while that his brothers and sisters would have suffered under bondage and oppression. But something was in him, something from the very design, from the very makeup that he was given by God coming into this life, that didn't want that, that couldn't live like that, that couldn't accept that being his reality. And so as time went on, you know, around what would have been around age 40 or so, he, you know, acted on that one day. You know, he sees somebody physically abusing one of his brethren out there, and he looks this way, he looks that way, and, you know, thinks that he's in the clear and goes and kills a man. Now, as you go forward later on in the story, you realize that the desire that he had to see the people of God free was a God-given desire. It really was. It was something that God had put in him. you know, from the very start that God had put in him, that was always there, that was a seed of the Spirit planted in him. And he had this in him the whole time. Now, you know, but with this, too, when it came to, okay, what do you do with that? Well, one day he sees somebody being hurt and abused, and he tries to act on it. And, you know, he ends up taking a man's life and thinking that he can cover this up. He tries to bury the body in the sand. How that got out? Well, one thing about life and the world way before the internet is that when things happen, nothing stays hidden. You know, nothing stays hidden in this life. Even if it might stay hidden for a little window of time, but eventually all things come out. You know, even when Cain slew Abel, you know, God said to Cain, you know, the blood of your brother is crying out from the ground. Nothing is hidden. You know, all things are laid bare before God. All things are known in the Spirit. Nothing is hidden from, you know, the eyes of the Lord for sure. And also, too, even in this life, it has a way of everything creeping out. That's why even right now, in the day and the age that we live in this time where just so many things are coming out so fast and so many things are being made known around us at all times, it's incredible that you know, things, information is coming out all over. And that's why, too, you have to live a life that's transparent. You have to live a life that you are not trying to, that you have nothing that you want to try to hide. Okay, so you need to live a life that is where you have nothing that you're trying to hide. You need to live a life where, you know, you're not trying to conceal, because you don't have anything that you need to conceal. You can live a blameless life. You know, that is something that is possible. But anyways, in Moses' situation, you know, where he had been given something, there was a desire in his heart, and as he tried to act on that, you know, with force and under his own direction, under his own volition. See, even though there's a desire that's put in your heart, you still have to wait on the timing and the direction of God. Because, excuse me, if you try to act on something, but if you act on it out of your own impulse, that can get you into a lot of trouble. If you act on things based on your own intention, on your own volition, it can be a God-given desire, but a very human response. Now, in the process of Moses trying to act on this, he ended up creating a mess for his own life, and he ended up running for his life as a fugitive. Went off to Midian, and you know, the course of a few events took place, and you know, kind of just got on with what he thought life would end up becoming or being. You know, got married, had a kid, you know, all of that. One day, 40 years after the fact, so he was 40 when he killed a guy, 80 years old. Imagine 40 years passing. You know, you had a dream in your heart, or you had a desire in your heart, and that thing that was there, it's, you know, now where is it? Where has it been relegated to? What's the place that it's been put to? Has it been, you know, is it still there? Is it just kind of a hope deferred, making the heart sick? You know, what was Moses' case in that spot? I mean, because think about it. Most people, when they get to 80, they really, you know, that's kind of it for a lot of people. A lot of people at age 80, they're not really planning to gear up for their life mission. You know, not in the modern age, and not in ancient times either. So at that spot, a lot of it for Moses would have been just empty, lost dreams, empty, lost hopes. You know, never really having seen the fruition of the desire and the hope that God had put inside of his heart from his very being. And, you know, there's a disappointment that creeps in to the hearts of people when that becomes the reality in their experience. When there's something that they desire in them that's part of their individual makeup, and they've never been able to carry that out. They've never been able to see the fruition of that expression. Now, here's the thing that's incredible about this story, too, is God gave the desire to Moses to see the liberation of his people. And God intended to also utilize that desire that was put in Moses to use him as a tool to be the instrument of calling out his people from Egypt, which was a type of the world. But Egypt, as time would go forward, God wanted to use Moses for that. The very thing, the very skill that God had put in him, or the very desire that he had put inside of him, he wanted to see that brought to fruition. He wanted to see that manifest. And, you know, Moses at the same time too, you know, he wanted to see that happen, but the opportunity had never presented itself. And when the time came, probably at age 40 when he acted like that and when he killed that guy, he probably was just getting tired of waiting. You know, he wanted to see something happen. And just day in and day out, this thing was gnawing away at him. He wanted to see something happen. So he tried to act. He tried to move. He tried to make something happen. And he made a mess. And so later on, when he ran for his life, then basically he just said, all right, that's it. You know, maybe I didn't hear right. Maybe I didn't get this one. Maybe I didn't quite understand. Maybe I missed it. You know, and he had a lot of time to think. Boy, I tell you, man, on the backside of the desert with a few sheep, and that's all you're doing all day, he probably had a lot of time to think about it. And at a certain spot, you know, even if he never came to peace with it, because I don't think you can ever come to peace with having a certain way that you are made and designed by God, and yet never really being able to see the fruition of that. I don't think you can come to peace with it, but I think what you can do is you can just sort of learn to live with it. Just like if you get injured and you have a limp, you know, you can sort of learn to cope with it, but it doesn't mean that you ever quite walk right. You know, it's left an impact on you. And you know, with Moses, you know, he may never have come to peace with any of this stuff. I doubt he did. In fact, pretty sure he didn't. But he learned to live with it. He learned to accept that this is what life is. This is what life is always going to be. And you know what? I'm just going to take care of what's in front of me right now. I got a wife. I got a kid. I got, you know, something I got to kind of do for the day. And let me just do this until the time comes that I just sort of check out of this life. And what was that all about? And in the middle of that, God's got a different plan. In the middle of that, God has something that he intends for his people and something that he intends for Moses. And the plan that God has is going to also result in a fulfillment of certain desires and certain skills and a certain heart that he had put in Moses from the very start. Now, 40 years on the backside of the desert resulted in a lot of things with Moses. You know, one was God had to burn the king out of him. You know, there was a lot of things. He was trained in the ways and the wisdom of Egypt for 40 years. And then that next 40 years was a very humbling process. The next 40 years was a stripping process in so many ways, where, you know what, the last thing that he could do, or that he trusted his ability in, was maybe just taking care of a few sheep. And even with that, he would later on run away from that. He would later on not even trust his ability to do that. There was a complete and total dependency that was understood by Moses by the things that he had gone through and experienced by the time he was 80 years old. Once he had his encounter with God, that was the finishing touch on a process that God would use to prepare him to lead his people out of Egypt. And God is the master potter. God is the master builder. God is, he knows what he's doing with his people. You know, so often we put so much importance on our thoughts, our abilities, our life, the timeline that we create for ourselves. And all of those things, we end up making a mess for ourselves. Whereas God knows what he's doing. You know, but there is this element in the human experience of, well, what do you do with that? You know, what do you do with the fact that God has put a desire in your heart, and yet when you want to express it, there is no way or no means to see that happen? You know, what do you do when you see certain things taking place, and yet it's kept distant from you? Your ability to make change or be part of change or to see positive things happen. Now, God had a plan for his people. God had a plan for his people, and not just, it wasn't just Moses' life. Here's one thing I want us to all understand. There's something bigger going on than Moses. There's something bigger going on than his individual life. See, sometimes what happens is we get so wrapped up in our thing that we don't realize and we forget that there's something much, much greater and much, much larger going on than us. And Moses would have a role to play, a huge role, but he would just be a role. And likewise, you and I, we have a role to play. Now, does God know that we have desires, hopes, experiences, things that we want to see come to fruition? Absolutely. He knows that. In fact, he made that. In fact, he gave us that. In fact, he wired us a particular way. You know, I look at it for myself, for example. I know that there are certain skills that God has given me, they've been there since I was a kid. I've always thought a particular way. I've always had a certain wiring. As time's gone on, I might have gotten a bit more proficient, a bit more able, but I've always had a particular leaning with certain abilities, more so than others. God gave me that. You know, God has given you certain things. I know that. I know that that's something that God's done. So, but with that too, the expression of those things is something that we wait on the Lord for the timing, the opportunity, and the direction. So that, because here's what the thing is, for a fulfillment of a dream that God's put in your heart, you want it to be under the direction and the leading and the guiding of His Holy Spirit. Because when you do it that way, then you're moving with God. If you don't do it that way, then you're moving in your own power, in your own ability. And the difference between those two is massive. The difference between those two is, one is you trying to move in yourself, in your own strength, making a move. And every person is limited in that. Or you moving with the Spirit of God. And when you move with the Spirit of God, the entire resource of heaven and everything that God has and the grace of the God that created it all is working on your behalf and through you and orchestrating the circumstances and the situations for your success. But it's ultimately His plan and purpose being brought to fruition. That's what you want. That's what we want. See, when Jesus was in this earth, what did He say? He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. When Jesus was in the earth, when they told Him, hey, His own brothers told Him this. His own brother said, hey, Jesus, why don't you go up and make yourself known at the feast? And, you know, anybody that wants to become a public figure, this is what they do. And Jesus said to them, look, any time is okay for you guys, but you know, it's not the way it works with me. I mean, He's got to be about God's perfect timing. And everything that Jesus did in His time in the earth was in step with the Spirit of God, was in step with the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So He didn't just do what He saw the Father doing. He walked in perfect alignment, was always in step with where the Spirit had for Him to be. So He didn't just start His earthly ministry at 18 because He had a desire in His heart. You know, He knew from early on that God had put Him in the earth for all kinds of things. He knew that. And yet, it was under the direction, the leading, and the guiding of the Holy Spirit that He would move forward in the manifestation of that plan and God's purposes. That He would move on at age 30 into the ministry that He would have in the earth for those 3.5 years. And ultimately, at the right time, even as He said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down on my own accord, and I have the power to take it back up again. And He, at the right time, then went into Jerusalem. Went into... that's why the timing of God is incredible in the events that took place in the earth. That's why, too, with a lot of you know, commercial organizations that call themselves churches, and I see how sloppy they are with the timing of God. But there's so much that is revealed, and even when Jesus did certain things and why He did them that way, that. You know, I mean, 3 days and three nights, you know, for when Jesus went to the tomb and to the grave and rose again. There's a reason for that. So, but so many things have been fused with paganism that you really have to take a diligent account of what's going on in the scriptures. I recommend the King James Bible because there's a lot of liberties that have been taken with some of the newer translations. So I recommend studying in that for anybody that would ever ask me. You know, and I think there's a lot in language that you need to be mindful of. But with Jesus and His time in the earth, you know, He was very deliberate. And He moved with purpose. He moved with the Spirit. He moved. He was ever present. Everywhere He went, things changed. Things happened. Things stirred up. I mean, it would have been incredible to be around and with Jesus in His time in the earth. But you know, the thing is that that's not something outside the realm of what we can experience too in this life. Anyone that's a follower of Christ, Jesus said, it is better for you that I go, because after I go, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So for us, we are led and guided by the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God leads us, when we come into a place of connection, and Now, Jesus is the gate. You know, he's the door. Matthew 7. So, you know, we go through that gate and we connect to the source of life. He is that which activates, you know, the spirit within us, the God DNA within us. He's the one that activates that within us. From that connection, the Spirit of God can lead, guide, and direct us each and every moment of every single day. And in that, then, the talents, the skills, the abilities that are in you can now be expressed according to the direction, plan, and purpose of God for something much greater, much larger than yourself. Now, here's the thing. With every person, as life happens to so many of us, a lot of times, you know, what I've seen, and, you know, even in my own experience as well, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And many, many, many times for the children of God that have been in this life and been in this world for a while, you know, there's dreams, there's hopes, there's desires that have been there that just kind of haven't happened. And I've seen a lot of sick hearts with the people of God over time. I mean, yes, they love God, they trust Him, they want to walk with Him. But in the midst of that, there is a brokenness inside and it's a pain. It's a mixture of pain, loss, lack of fulfillment. It's kind of all wrapped together in this just dull numbness that's there inside. As they kind of, like Moses, sort of go to the backside of the desert with a menial task, taking care of a few sheep or whatever the day-to-day thing is that doesn't really occupy too much of themselves. And they just kind of go about life, just carrying on. But here's the thing I want you to know and understand this day. You know, as long as you're in this life, you're in this life. And as long as you're here, as long as there's breath in your body, you still have an amazing window that God can accomplish that which He desires to do in and through you. And sometimes, certain things have not happened just because it wasn't yet the timing of God for a much larger thing. See, here's the thing. Even with God, when He was setting up the timing for the liberation of His people, you got to understand that even the time that the children of Israel would come out of Egypt, I believe it was 430 years from the time that they went in to the time that they left. If Moses would have been able to liberate the children of Israel out of Egypt under his window, he would have not been in step with the timing and the plan and the purpose of God. You know, God had a larger timing for what He wanted to do there. 400 years, specifically, though, was their captivity, and there's some other pieces on there with the timing, but when you study that window there, there's something incredible around the timing of God for when He sent His children into Israel, their incredible growth as a population while they were there, even under captivity and slavery, and then when God would bring them out. Now, you know, God used that entire circumstance and that entire situation for something much, much larger, much, much greater. And they would go from that into the wilderness and all the rest of the things that would happen. But there's so much going on that's bigger than Moses. There's so much going on that's bigger than you. So much going on that's bigger than me. And this is where we step out of ourselves, step out of looking at just me, my life, what I want, my selfish desires, my hopes. Because you know what? Selfishness is a bottomless pit. You start feeding that, you'll never get out. You start going that way, it just doesn't stop. That's why the world tries to make you selfish. And it tries to appeal to that side in your flesh, which is coded into your DNA, to be selfish. So, you know, that's where all the commercial appeals and all the things that try to isolate you as an individual, apart from anything, are out there for you. So have it your way. You're worth it. All these taglines of all these different commercials that are out there, I think of those because I see all they try to do is isolate you into something where it's you are all there is. But the thing is that we are, as a child of the living God, you are connected into a body. And you are part of the body of Christ in the earth at such a time as this. And as part of the body, you want to play the role in the body that God's designed you to play. And you will find your fulfillment in executing that role according to how God has destined for it to be in the timing, in the plan, in the purpose of what God wants to do. Here's the thing with Moses. You know, so what if he started at 80? He carried on with that ministry for 40 years. And at 120, he was climbing up the backside of the desert. You know, God put a certain strength and a certain quickening in him to be able to do what, you know, I mean, how many mountain climbers do you know that are 120 years old? There's something else that goes on with the people of God when they're in step with him. It's not about time, because we're outside of time. You know, it's amazing for me, even in this day right now that I live in, how many people, they're amazed, for me, even when they meet me, and then later on they actually figure out that I'm older than they think, because I come across much younger. But the reason is because the Spirit of God is in me. Life is flowing through me. Whereas when somebody else is cut off from life, and they walk the way of the world, you know, they die very quickly. Their bodies wither up and they die faster. Listen, Joshua and Caleb were ready to go in and take the land the first round when they went in as spies to check it out. And then the next round, 40 years later, they were ready to go all over again. They were out there fighting. You know, God quickens his people. Don't look at time. Because time is in God's hands. Timing is in his hands. And God can, if he needs to, he can turn time back. He can quicken your mortal bodies. He can restore things that you didn't think could be restored. He can put things together that you never thought could happen. In a moment, God can put together a number of circumstances that you could never do in a lifetime. God can do that. With Abraham and Sarah, God turned back the clock on them so that they could have a kid. The child of promise. Isaac was a result of the promise of God. God literally restored their physical bodies so that they could have a child like that. God does that with his people. See, here's the thing. We are a miraculous people. We are a people that we don't function like the world. We don't live like the world. We are part of an entirely different system. We are part of the kingdom. And the kingdom works very different than the way that the world works, the system of the world. The kingdom of God is different than the system of the world. And when you are connected to the source of life, which is the King, through Christ Jesus and his Spirit's in you, all of a sudden, everything is different. And to come to an understanding of that and to move in boldness in that is essential. We are eternal beings, living in temporal space for a window of time. But in the window of time that we're here, line up with what God is doing And also know that God's put certain things in you because He wants them there. But He wants those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those desires to be laid at His feet. And then for Him to direct it. Because He is our King. He is our monarch. He is our King. He is the one that leads and directs and guides us. This is where we need to receive our direction from Him. Because if you don't receive your direction from Him, and you try to go on and you try to make something happen, now you're doing it in yourself. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can do no thing. There's a lot of people that do things apart from Him. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? You know, didn't we do good works? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all this stuff in your name? So they used His name, but they didn't do it in His name because they were apart from Him. They were apart from the direction and the leading and the guiding of His Spirit. And what did Jesus say? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And that knowing is a consummation. You know, I was never one with you, and you were never one with me. You were never in connection with me. You never did what you did under my leading and my direction. You used my name to legitimize your individual personal actions that you did apart from me, but I never knew you. You used my name to try to grant yourself legitimacy. You used my name to build your business. You used my name to try to further your earthly agenda. You used my name as a political stepping stone. You used my name, but you never knew me. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. How many people in this day and this age use His name, but they don't know Him? What we do is we know Him. And under that knowing, under that leading and that guiding of His Spirit, from that place, allow God to lead and guide the fruition of that which He's put inside of you. Now, in the fruition taking place, what's important to understand is that as He leads you and He guides you, each step is going to be according to His timing. And in any army, you know, they're not just fighting all the time. There's times where you have to march. There's times where you have to rest. There's times where you actually do have to fight. There's times for building up your skills. There's times for all kinds of different things. And this is where you want to be in step with His Spirit, because you want to be part of the timing of God. Even when you read through the scriptures, you'll notice that when God trains His people, because the Spirit of God trains His people, He has a similar method of training. Like, when I read the scriptures, so often I see when God is working with somebody, how they have a desert experience. Moses had, in this case, he had 40 years on the backside of the desert. I mean, Paul, he had 3. You know, after he, you know, had his Damascus Road experience, he went to the backside of the desert and had to go through a whole deprogramming and re-understanding of what the Word said. Joseph, he had 13. You know, he was just about 17 years old when he got sold into slavery by his own brothers, by his own family. You know, some people have had that experience. You know, been sold out by your own family. Some immediate, some extended, but you've been sold out by them. And 13 years of what was a desert experience for him before he saw the fruition of the dreams that God had put in his own heart. And he went from the prison to the palace, you know, in a moment, because God orchestrated the circumstance for that. And he would have a very long assignment from that point forward, and that which God prepared the way for actually led to basically the saving of a lot of lives. But God has His way of training His people. God has His way of teaching. God, Jesus did 40 days on the backside of the desert. You know, as led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit led Him into the desert. So He was baptized by John, and then, you know, right after he came out of the water and he went through that whole process, it says in the scriptures, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. You know, and the devil came and tried to show him, you know, and he tempted him, showed him all the shortcuts, all the quick ways, fast ministry, quick ways, immediate results, Jesus. All you got to do is just be part of the system. All you got to do is just bow down. Do what all this, what did Jesus say? Everybody else that came before me were thieves and robbers. They all tried to come up another way into the sheep pen. Thieves and robbers. So, yeah. You know, we follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Because here's the thing. When God puts us through that process, He's preparing us for the work at hand. And He's preparing us so that when we go into it, we're ready. Now, we're still always completely dependent upon Him. We're still always looking to Him to lead and guide us. But sometimes what's necessary is, actually, all the time what's necessary, actually, is to be prepared by the Spirit of God, because He knows what you need so that when you go into the situations that you'll go into, that you're ready for them. There's both a natural preparation, and then there's also a spiritual empowering. Both are important. And, you know, to just sort of throw that whole side out misses part of God's own plan and purpose with you and with me, and part of the experience that God has for us. See, He knows what He's doing with us. And part of what's necessary is trust. And we have to learn always to trust that. You know, I mean, I look at a guy like Peter in the scriptures. I like Peter, you know. I mean, and the thing is with Peter, they, you know, were out fishing the whole night before. And then Jesus said, all right, throw down your nets for a catch. And what did he say? He's like, you know what, God, we've been doing this the whole night. We didn't catch anything, you know. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it. And he did it. And they caught so many fish that their nets were starting to tear. And they called another boat, and those guys showed up, and both boats were just starting to tip over, you know, because they had so much fish in them. What happened? He'd done something over and over and over and over and over again, and no result. But the moment that Jesus gives him a direction, and he does it, even though he had had zero success doing the exact same thing. But the moment that it's led by the Spirit, completely different result. So much so that Peter was amazed at the miraculous catch of fish and said to Jesus, away from me, Lord, you know, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, look, you know, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Come follow me. If you follow me, the same thing that you've seen happen with these fish is going to happen with people. And you are going to bring in a harvest for the kingdom. Under my leading, under my direction, under the direction of the Spirit of the living God, that's how it's going to happen. And you see glimpses of that in the scriptures. At Pentecost, in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 pricked in their heart. And they said, what do we need to do to be saved? Just like that. Leading of the Spirit of God. Incredible things. But God had to do a work in Peter to prepare him for that. God has had to do a work in you and a work in me to prepare us for the realization and the revelation and the fulfillment of what it is that He desires for us. Those talents, skills, abilities that God's put in you, He gave you those. And some of you out there, you have a dull ache, a dull pain in your soul, because just like Peter, you put the net on the side of the boat time and time and time again, and you came up with nothing. But Jesus would say, okay, put down your net for a catch. Under his direction. And you know what? Jesus didn't rebuke Peter for bringing up the fact that he had already tried. He knew that he had already tried. He had, in the Spirit, seen and watched and known all things. God knows that we've had the rough experiences that we've had before. He knows that. But he still wants us to trust him. And he still wants us to try one more time. Only this time, he wants us to try as his Spirit leads us, as his Spirit guides us. And he wants us to trust him. Listen, brothers and sisters, the success is not in the result. The success is in the obedience. The success is in being led by his Spirit. Because the result will be in God's hands. And as you do it, you're going to... the fulfillment is his. You know, one reason why, you know, we've been able to continue on for so long with FaithNex, whereas most people, you know, they try something like this and then they just kind of drop off. But one reason why has been because we understood from the start that our success is in our obedience, not in the result. So for us, as we just do this and as we put this out there, and that's it. The second that it's up, it's out, it's done. That's our part. That's the part we play. Our success is in the obedience. The result is in God's hands. And yet, as time goes on, God also knows that a longing fulfilled is a heart's delight. And he knows that which would bring joy and peace and fulfillment and pleasure to your soul. And he has a desire to see that brought to fruition in you as you trust him as well. That's there. But make the kingdom of God and walking with him your primary concern. And what you do with those things, put them before him. Just put it before him. Just be honest with God about it. Yes, this is where I'm at, Lord. This is what I struggle with. This is what's on my heart. All of it's there. But Lord, I trust you. And I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to walk with you. I'm looking to you. And in Jesus' name, as you direct me, I will put down my net for a catch one more time. And I'll keep doing it as long as you lead me. In Jesus' name. And with that, love you guys. God bless you. Don't worry about anything. I tell you what, he is in control. And he knows. You know, he knows. He knows. All right. Hey, we love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.